It is such a pleasure to be back in the pulpit again and sharing those with like precious faith about our Savior Jesus Christ. We are in the last chapter of the book of Colossians today, chapter 4, if you'd like to turn to it with me. And there we get the Apostle Paul trying to close up his relationship with this powerful church. We pick up in chapter 4, verse 1, and it reads the following. Master, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because that you know you have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Father God, we ask that you can allow us to proclaim the message strong and clear, and then let it fall upon receiving ears, so we all are strengthened. We're all emboldened. We know that what the things of the world may put against us are nothing compared to the promises that Christ has paid for us already. We have those who are sick, loved ones that need strengthening and growing and recovery. We have those who still have surgeries to do or reports to get. Bless them and the caregivers. We ask, Father, for the help of our missionaries and our military overseas, and the help for the first responders here in America. We hear another one and two and three, it seems like every week, that are injured or shot or murdered in their work for serving you, serving us, making us have peace. So bless them and their families as well. For this country, for this state, for this community, we ask your blessing, that we all may have an opportunity to know the good love and share the good love of Jesus the Christ. Now be with the speaker this day, I pray in his name. Amen. This is a part the preacher loves to skip over because it's technical and touchy. But he simply says, Masters, provide for your slaves that which is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Now, most of us had a little black and white TV, or maybe it was a small, funny color one, back in the early 70s when the play Roots came on. And Chicken George and Kunta Kinte and names like that, we learned. Most of us learned the wrong way of what slavery is in the Bible, because it was not like this type of event that took place in the horrible period of the start of the country and to the end of the Civil War. Biblically, God created all men equal. And his teaching to us through the apostles and even through Moses back that far is that we're to be respectful of other human beings. There are seven different ways a person in the time of the ancients, in the Old Testament, New Testament, would become a slave. Some were captured in war, and instead of being put to death, they were brought into a household to take care of them. Some sold themselves into slavery when their life got too hard and they couldn't manage their finances. Some got in debt, severe debt, and they would sell their children into slavery. Usually a person who sells themselves into slavery are given anywhere between 3 to 6 years of work, and then they're set free. Others are born into a household where their parents were slaves in that household, and they became a slave of that household until they reached adulthood. Some just wanted to have a place to be, and they would attach themselves to a family. Quite frequently, the slaves within a Hebrew family would become part of the family. And even to the point of when they were given their freedom, the person would say, no, I don't want it. Well, it was turned over. I don't know if Mr. Snake got it or not. The owner would take them to the door post, put their ear up against the door, and take what we would call today a scratch-all, which would be a long, sharp-pointed, looked like a nail with a handle on it, and would drive that through their ear into the door post, symbolically attaching them. They didn't leave it there, but symbolically attaching them to that household, and they would live there as a member of that family for the rest of their lives. So the pictures we get when Paul's talking about slavery, he's not condoning the capturing of people and putting them in the involuntary servitude, he was condoning the masters of the family to treat them right. There are 9 different words that take care of masters in the Old Testament and New Testament. Most of them had to do with a relationship. Sometimes Jesus himself was called master because he was a teacher and a leader. Other times it would be a boss or a physical owner. But it never was to be a position of hardship. The Bible does not, as many regretfully preachers even did in the time of the Civil War, the Bible does not condone harsh treatment to each other. I convey this today to people who are employees, that we should be, as bosses or as owners of company or co-workers, we should be responsible to everyone around us, no matter what station in life. And Paul said, think about it, because we all have a master who is in heaven. He's talking, of course, about God. And God will know how we treat others. Treating others the way we want ourselves to be treated, that's what we're taught over and over. So in this little couple sentences there, it talks about our responsibility to other people is through kindness and love and equality, which is brought because we're all brothers and sisters of Jesus himself. We go on to chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, I was asked just today if I have a favorite basketball or football team by someone who doesn't know me yet. I sit up and watch that rainstorm on TV for I don't know how many hours. And it was so interesting that I turned it back on and watched it again. We beat that same team twice last night. And I was quite thrilled to that. But how many people of you seriously have a picture of your home state or a basketball, or some of you are Houston Astros, right? Or Astro fans, and you're cheering one side of your mouth and the other one you are Washington Nationals. I'm not sure I know what a national is, but you're Washington Nationals fans and you were cheering the other day and now it's a tie game and everybody gets all excited. The TV people love it. We can get devoted to things like that. Becky collects buttons. And she's got 2 buttons that are primarily hanging up over our kitchen area. And one of them says Kennedy Johnson on it. And the other one says, I like Ike. Now, I know she bought the second one, not because of the president, but because I was nicknamed Ike as well. But we have things we remember people by. He says, devote yourselves. And we get devoted to a lot. You may belong to a social club, or you may belong to an alumni association or something like that. We've got the opportunity to support the abortion, anti-abortion group, or the education, the birth education group. We can be devoted to things like that, which are very good. In devoting ourselves to that, we need to be devoted to prayer. I mean, the truth of the matter is, can you remember? Well, I'm asking the wrong group about can you remember, aren't I? I'm sorry. Can you remember the days prior to InstaNet or SuperNet or anything but a fishing net? And boop, 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 and in 15 seconds you get the answer back. Or telephone, remember telephones? Hello, Mabel, you know. And we call somebody up and we talk to them instantly. Can you remember back when you had to write letters to people? Wow. My grandparents were snowbirds in Lake Placid, Florida. And every Sunday night I would sit down at the kitchen table and I'd get me out that number 2 pencil and I'd get out a steak knife and I'd put a sharp edge on it. You know, boys put sharp edges with steak knives. Ladies use something better, I don't know. But I write, Dear Mama and Papa, how are you? I am fine. This is Dwight. I love you more than the rest of them. It's cold up here. Please come home. And about the time I wrote the next Sunday, I get a letter back from them. You know, I had to crawl from alligators on them or something to get the news back to Kentucky. But we like contact. And God likes contact with us. If you remember, back in the book of Genesis, God walked in the Garden of Eden. He spoke to Adam and Eve. He created them for friendship and for fellowship. And I don't think that's changed one single bit. 2 weeks ago, Friday night, we went to our class reunion. We went to our 50th class reunion. And I have found, we have a picture of everybody that was there. I have found that Becky and I have aged the least of anybody that was there in 50 years. I mean, I look at her picture, it's the same as it was in 1969 when we graduated. I'm not sure she sees me that way, but at least that's the way I see her. But it was fun just to sit around and talk to people. Some I've met, and some have attended church here, and others we haven't seen in 50 years. But strike up conversations. Why would God not want to have a conversation with us? So we have the opportunity. Without internet, without AT&T or sending a Western Union, we have the opportunity to talk to the creator of the world. And he looks forward to it. If you had a friend that said, man, I really love conversating with you and I really love to talk to you and get your letters or your calls, you would want to call them all the time, wouldn't you? Particularly, boys, if you're 17 and she's 16 and you're writing back and forth and, you know, or somebody's away from college or in the military, those letters were very important in those days. We like to communicate. God says devote, Paul says devote yourselves in prayer, being watchful and thankful. Well, being thankful, we've heard, but what does watchful mean? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever gone to sleep one day you're really, really tired and you wake up and you're not sure where you're at? Yeah. And you have to get up and what's on TV or where are we at? Or what kind of, is it cold or hot? And you have to figure, you got to be watchful to know what your condition is in. See what the world looks around you. See how blessed we really are. For far too often, we miss the opportunity to understand how good it really is. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I hate cold weather. I've never told anybody that before. It happened when I was about 2. I got stuck in the snow. It happened when I was 10 and I was carrying hay to the cattle. It happened when I was 12 and was chopping ice on the pond so the cattle could have something to drink. It happened when we were in Chicago and we had 9-foot snow. I hate cold weather. Thank God he invented Florida. But what we have to do is see what's around us. Are we in a good place? If not, why are we not in a good place in our lives? What have we missed? What blessing have we been a part of that we just didn't realize till it was way too late? A good friend moves away and you never got a chance to say goodbye. A loved one passes and dies. You never got a chance to say, I love you. Too many times we are not watchful around us and thankful for what we have. And I think that's critical. We are a blessed people. I mean, honest to goodness, look around here. None of y'all have chains and bonds. Nobody got drugged to church today. Well, maybe the kids did. But I'm talking about the adults. You came, well, maybe you came because you volunteered. I don't, but we have a lot of opportunities. Nobody tells us what time we have to get up and what time we have to go to bed and what we have to do. We're blessed people. Why don't we take advantage of it? And why don't we share that good news? If you read a good book, wouldn't you want to call someone and say, have you read this book? It's really, really good. I just can't wait till they bring Downtown Abbey out so I can go see it because I've loved that movie, that TV show, all them funny talking people. My gosh. I don't know how they got that many people to talk that language in one movie place. That God may open the door, Paul says, pray for us, that God may open the door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. For which I'm enchained. It was very interesting to hear the missionaries talk about the opportunities that they have to seek for, prepare for, learn foreign languages, write languages. The Pioneer Bible translators, they have to write a language. The places they go did not have a written language whatsoever, and they create a language, and then they translate the Gospels, starting usually with John and Luke, into their language so those people can hear the saving grace of Jesus the Christ. How blessed we are. I would dare say that most of you have at least one Bible in your house, maybe 5 or 6 or more. It's successful. If you don't have enough Bible, if you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. Let me know. Let one of the men know. We'll get you a Bible. There's no, I was in Kentucky 2 weeks. Get you. That means we will acquire for you. Take the boy out of the country, folks, but you cannot take the country out of the boy. Let me testify that. We may proclaim the mystery of Christ. What's the mystery of Christ? It's not some supernatural thing. The mystery of Christ is simply this. By one man dying, all men can be saved. That's simple mystery. You don't have to walk on water. You don't have to feed 5,000. You've got to believe that there is a Son of God who wants to and has paid for your salvation. And that mystery will give us hope forevermore. Because I'm going to tell you, I read some medical books. One of them called the Bible. It says, we shall live by 70, if by some great nature and gift of God you may live 80. In other words, the Bible prescribes most of us live between 70 and 80. Now, there's several of us in here that's done got past that, and thank God for that. He gave us the extra time. But eventually, we're all going to die. Unless the rapture comes back first, which I'm looking forward to, and it seems like every day's news, it's getting closer and closer. I know it's getting closer and closer, because we're a day older. But if we don't die, and the rapture comes, we got nothing to worry about because it's already taken care of. And if we do die, we got nothing to worry about because God's already taken care of it through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I accept him as my Lord and Savior, and I'll be buried in the water grave of baptism to rise to walk a new creature, filled with the Holy Spirit. When we do that, our future life is taken care of, not for a week, not for a month, not for 10 years, but forever. A philosopher was asked one time, how long is eternity? He said, if the first day of every new millennium, 1,000 years, a bird would fly from London, England, the Rock of Gibraltar, pick one little piece off, and fly back. And if the bird did that every first day of every new millennium, every 1,000 years, by the time the Rock of Gibraltar was gone, that would be the first day of ever. That would be the first day of eternity. In other words, there is no end. God's got a wonderful plan for us. And it's there for us to reach out and take. And Paul said, pray for us that we may spread that good news. And when we pray for our missionaries last week, and we give our money, and we share, and we think about them, and we write them, God is saying, you got some folks on your side over there in America. We got some folks that care about your ministry over in Florida. Punta Gorda. Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. You remember Regis Philbin? You remember him? It was two nights a week, then it was three or four nights a week, and if you got stumped, you could phone a friend. Well, there's still a phone a friend. His name is Jesus. There's still phone a friend. He's got a book for us. It's called the Bible. And the answers are there for us. And when we speak, let us be educatedly speaking, because we've read it and studied it and discussed it and are blessed by Christ. Again, let your conversation be always full of grace. Be nice. Is it really that hard to be nice? Even when some people don't deserve it. But you'll let God make that judgment, aren't you? Because probably some people think each of us don't deserve it. He says, be full of grace. Season with salt. I haven't had a salt shaker in my hand for 35 years. Probably won't get me alive. And every once in a while I'll go to a restaurant who they don't like salt. They love salt. You know, you ever been that? If you don't do a lot of salt, you get a hold of somebody that does a lot of salt, you night and I fell in the Gulf of Mexico and swallowed a pound of it, and it wasn't even red tide. And it gets your attention. Well, our life is to have that salt. With a little bit of salt, which is a preservative, things can go wrong. You may know how to answer everybody. Tyrus will tell you all the news about me, Paul says. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. He equaled someone to himself. Now, we know that there was nobody like Paul, except everybody's like Paul. Because we are Christians who have the opportunity to share the love with others. And that's what Paul's saying, you like me. I'm sending him to express, for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus. Now, that's a runaway slave. We'll talk about him another day. Our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you, and he will tell you everything about what's happening here. Communication, as easy as it is around here, is not done enough. We take a few minutes every Bible study, every Sunday morning, to ask for prayer requests. I think it's important that none of us should have to go through a week, a month, or maybe what seems like a lifetime with a burden, with a concern, with those who feel unhealthy, those who need a prayer, and we don't share it. So Paul says, pray for us too. Let us have strength. And it is not wrong at all if you walk up to someone and said, would you pray for me? There's a lot of people in here who have done that to different ones. And you never know about it because those are kept in secret. We have even what's called a specific prayer for someone we don't even name them. An unnamed prayer. We should share that with each other. Would you just pray for me? My life's tough. Got a family having a hard time. Friends or neighbors, whatever it is. We should be able to be glad to spread that need, news that someone needs of Christ. My fellow prisoner, Arstamus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, a cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Now, Paul's sitting in prison in Rome, yet he's not worried about himself. If God wants him out of there, God will get him out of there. If God wants him there, God will leave him there. And God left him there for a while, and that's why he's writing these letters for us. And Paul's not worried about his immediate situation. He's concerned about the long-term effect for everybody. And we should be as well. I was joking with somebody a minute ago. The next 53 weeks are just going to be exciting. Because 53 weeks from Tuesday will be the election will be over. Oh! Then we'll worry about 2024 or something like that. But you're going to hear tales. You're going to see things. You're going to say, I just can't believe this. This is still my country, and et cetera, et cetera. We'll get all excited about things. Can anybody tell me who's the 9th Prime Minister of England? No one? Doesn't matter, does it? It's already passed away. Can anybody here name all? Was it 48, 49, 50 vice presidents? No. Norm could, but the rest of us couldn't. I mean, it doesn't. We get so worked up about little things, we forget to take care of the big things. Praying for the salvation of our friends. Praying for the salvation of our country. Praying for it to be responsible as leaders and give us a free place to worship and serve. That should be our concerns. Oh, yes. Trust me. It's going to be the best comedy shows almost nightly for the next 53 weeks. And after that, we'll still worry about the World Series and what has to happen after that. But the truth is, let's concentrate on what's important, he says. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers in the kingdom. And they have proved a comfort for me. Erastus, who is one of you, only the people from your country, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer with you. I don't know that word's in there more than 2 or 3 times about wrestling. We know that Jacob wrestled with what he thought was an angel of being when you end up being God. And it's strife. If you ever wrestled, it's strife. And we should have strife in our life. Because we're fighting against the greatest warrior of all. His name is Satan, Beelzebub, the devil. Pick a term. We're wrestling against him. And the true thing is, it's an unfair battle because we're not able to handle him. The difference is that we have help. Book of Acts, first chapter. Go into Jerusalem and wait. And I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We've got God's Spirit in us. And we will not lose a battle because we're overmanned. We will only lose a battle if we give up. That God will not let us fail. And we should not fail him. That's what Paul's trying to do. Now this man, Paul, he's been beaten. He's been scourged. He will be shipwrecked. A lot of things will go wrong. But he didn't ever give up. And he wasn't worried about himself. I vouch for him that he's working hard for you. For those in Laodicea and Herophilus. Our dear friend Luke the doctor. You know Luke was not an apostle? No, he wasn't. He was a physician. That gave us the writings of his book with his name Luke and also the book of Acts. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas sends greetings. Send my greetings to the brothers and sisters of Laodicea. another area there in Greece, and to Nymphaea and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see it is also read by the church and the Laodiceans, that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. In other words, swapping mail. Took a long time to write those letters and get them around. Said to do that. Encourage. Tell Agrippinus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received from the Lord. And I, Paul, write these greetings in my own hand. Remember the chains. Grace be to you. And with that, he signed off to a group of friends that he cared about and loved about, but he couldn't be with them. But he wanted them to know that others care too. The sign says, I can't read, 105 maybe, is that what it says back there? There's 105 people in here that can be in prayer for others. Now, the missionary didn't tell the story last year that I heard from a guy that was involved 25 years ago. They were missionaries back when Rhodesia was breaking up. His name was Smith. He was Dr. Smith. Back when Rhodesia was breaking up. And he and a group were going from one village to another. And they were surrounded by a bunch of the rebels whose main job was to find and kill people, particularly Americans, particularly white people. He said they were surrounded, and all of a sudden, those men who had the machetes and were ready to do them permanent harm ran away. Nothing was ever said about it. Until years later, he found out that on that day, that specific time, there was a prayer meeting back in Indiana, and they were praying for the Smiths specifically. That's all he knew for a while. Years later, he converted a man who said, I know you, Dr. Smith. Matter of fact, I was a leader of the gang that surrounded you with full intent to kill all of those in your party. Now, what Dr. Smith knew in the back of his head and held it to himself is that that prayer meeting that night in Indiana, there were 13 of the leaders of the church that gathered around. He asked the converted Christian now, head of the group, tell me exactly what you know. He said, well, as we got ready to kill you, all of a sudden, there was a flash of light. And we looked out and saw a group of warriors surrounding your party and standing between us. How many were there? Dr. Smith said, 13. Don't ever apologize for thinking that your prayers don't count, because God hears them and works his miracles. If you're outside of the love of Jesus Christ, if you've not ever professed him as your Savior, we give the opportunity to do now. Miss Pam and the ladies come forward. The box is still empty, so it's okay, girls. To come forward, stand with me. He's on the pillow. He's on the pillow. What's a little bitty snake? He won't hurt nobody. We'll play without the organ.
Oh, yeah, right.
Stand with us as we sing hymn number
589. Oh, Jesus, I have promised.
589.
Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side. If thou wilt be my guide.
Share our time together and praise the Lord.
Lord, and thank them. Learn from them as well. Any other announcements?